What excites me about being in the marketplace at work is the impact that we can have on individuals that will never walk into our churches. And I'm convinced, and I've said this for years, that I can have we, you and I, when I say we, I'm talking about Berlin Gardens, we can have a bigger impact for God through the marketplace than I ever will at church. And not diminishing the importance of church and ministering and pastoring at all, but, and I'm going to share on it tonight, one of the things that I'm convinced that we as Christians should do is to do our work with excellence and in a way that people will ask us, why do you do it that way? That opens so many doors for us to share. And so I'm going to be talking quite a bit, just sharing some life stories, some life experiences, and also just some practices that we use at work. And I grew up on a dairy farm. I'm married to my wife, Ruby, for 33 years almost, just over 33 years. We have 5 children. We have 3 that are married. We have 4 wonderful grandchildren that we love to spoil and hang out with. I live in the Mount Hope area. I live in a triangle, so I go from Mount Hope to Berlin to work is 5 miles, and then I go from Berlin to Benton is 5 miles to church, and then from Benton back to Mount Hope is 5 miles to home. So my life revolves around that triangle when I'm in the Holmes County area. But I'd like to just focus our attention on a parable that Jesus talked about in the New Testament, Matthew 25. As I was studying and thinking about sharing here, my mind went to this particular parable. Because in business, it's not just about profit. But we also have to make a profit. Because the one thing I've learned in life, I cannot give to anyone that which I do not possess. If I want to give Brent a dollar, if I don't have it, I can't give it to him. If he comes to me for advice on a certain subject, if I'm not competent in that subject, I can't give him any advice. And so I know that this thing about the kingdom mindset and the triple bottom line is not all about finances. But the one thing is, when we bought our company in 2009, when I say we, Ruby and I, the one thing I did is I met with our leadership team that was there, and I told them, I said, we're going to make outdoor furniture, and we're going to do it with excellence, but I said, we're also going to make money. We're going to turn a profit because I want to give back to God. I want to pay you all well. I want to have good equipment. I want to have a clean environment. And I said, if we can't do that, I'd rather stay home on the porch with my family and the dog, because if we don't make any money, I want to just be at home. And so that is our goal. I told a man here a while back that we are a for-profit company. And one of the biggest reasons is because we love to give and build the kingdom of God and invest in our people and the community. And so Jesus here, I'm just going to paraphrase here. So there's a parable that Jesus, in chapter 25, 14 to 30, he says about this man that was going to leave, and he gave his one servant 5 talents, he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1. And we know the story well. When he came back, the one with 5 had doubled, the one with 2 had doubled, and the one with 1 was afraid of his master, of him, and he went and he buried it. He didn't lose money, but he didn't even earn interest. He was afraid. He did nothing. And I think we all know the words that Jesus used. Now, talents here is actually referring to money, if you look into it, but I'd like to broaden that to a lot more. It's the gifts that God has given you, the abilities, the resources, the intellect, anything. And the ability, if you study that word, it's actually the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. And it's a miraculous power and mighty work. And so in the kingdom work, it's not about hoarding, it's about investing. It's about investing in people, not just finances, but investing in their lives, helping them to grow. The return that God expects for us is commensurate with the gifts we have been given. They're not all the same. I was talking with Mark out in the foyer, and we were saying, you know, it doesn't seem fair that he gave one 5-2 and another one. In our human minds, that just doesn't quite seem right. But that's the story. What we need to learn, what I want you to learn from this parable is the fact that all of us, it was so interesting to hear all the different trades that you're in. All of us have been given different gifts and responsibilities. And we are, one day, we are all going to be held accountable to what we have done in the kingdom work with the gifts and talents, the finances, and everything that you've been given according to this parable. God expects that of us. And it's not all about, like I said, it's not all about money. The one verse that, when it talks about being held accountable, there's a verse that my father, who passed away about 22 years ago, the one that got the one talent was passive, and he didn't do anything. My dad used to say, he used to quote James 4:17, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I heard that a lot as a young boy growing up on the dairy farm. And so I'm going to share a story of my own personal life, nothing to do with finances, but it was kingdom work. I was 23 years old, had a good job, living at home yet. My brother was married. He was milking the cows. And we had this plan that we're going to add chicken houses to the farm. And I would slowly then quit my job, and we would be able to sustain two families with the dairy farm and two chicken houses. And we hadn't any concrete plans to do it, but that was what we were talking about. Standing west of here at a church service, or after the church service, and a man walks up to me, and he says, "Sam, my son is down at Fairplay Boys Camp, and they need counselors, and I think you should go." And it was a God moment where there was no question that night. I knew that I was supposed to go. And 3 months later, I drove into Fairplay Boys Camp. And for the next 2 years, I didn't give any monetary gifts to 10 boys, but I lived in the woods with them. But I gave them a lot more than money could ever give. And I share these stories not to brag on mobile life, but to just help you realize how God can use someone that grew up on a dairy farm. But I poured my sweat, blood, and tears into 10 boys, and boys from broken homes. They were considered emotionally handicapped, so we dealt with a lot of anger. Helped them learn how to solve problems, how to get back in school, how to talk through their problems. And there was more, you know, growing up in a pretty sheltered Mennonite home, I got called names I'd never heard before. I got cussed out a lot. But at the end of the day, when we put those boys to bed, I often heard this. We were counselors, we were called chiefs there at camp. They would say, as I would tuck them in, they would say, "Chief, I wish you were my dad." I'd hear that so often. And you know, 35 years later, I still get calls from some of those boys. In fact, the one is, he's burned all his bridges. He's spent half of his life in prison. And he served a 12-year federal prison term. And for years, he would call me Sunday mornings, like at 5:30, and we'd talk, because he had no one. And I just encourage you, It doesn't take a huge dream, and it doesn't take big things, but to make a, a difference in the life of one person, it's worth it. He's still in South Carolina, but he literally has, he has no one. So just continue on here. This is all what we want to hear. We want to hear, well done. Remember when our fathers, if it was Little League or whatever, swept the, cleaned up the house or did the dishes? We want to hear, well done. The first two, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord. And going back to those 2 years, something so fulfilling, and many of you, you're involved in missions, there's something, I've said this many times to people, there was something so fulfilling about spending time in the life of young boys and not getting paid for it, that money will never replace. The one thing that I've learned in life, as you're about your business and as God blesses you, God will give you more of what you allow to flow through you. And it's your choice to either, as God blesses your business or whatever, to either be a conduit or a reservoir. And a reservoir, if the water doesn't have an outlet, it becomes stale and it eventually will stink. And it's not very pleasant. But whatever God blesses you with, whether it's a degree where you can help someone in finances or whether it's financial, if you allow to flow it through you, you'll be amazed what God will do. And again, going back to that, you cannot give that which you do not possess. And I'd like to just share a story of what happened in our family that I was just amazed at how God plants seeds. And I share this to encourage especially those of you who are here with young children. It was in 2010, in January, when that massive earthquake hit Haiti. We used to gather in the dining room floor with our children, and we would pray before we go to bed. And we'd ask the kids, what do you want to pray about? And I remember, for some reason, our daughter, Heather, said, pray for Haiti. And that went on for about 6 months. And after about 6 months or a year, she said, Dad, we need to go help. So I said, well, let's pray about that. So we started praying, God, show us a mission or somehow we'd like to go to Haiti. And about 6 months later, I remember we were walking through the Newtown Mall. Here was I knew had been in Haiti. I stopped and I said, our family's praying about going to Haiti. Do you have any idea where we go and what we do? He said, sure. He said, I'm for the ministry at Labalin, I forget the name. He said, why don't you come down and we'll pick, talk about it and pray. And that was about a year later. We ended up sending a storage, 16 by 24 storage barn from my friends at Alpine Structures where I used to work. And we sent it down in October, and in December of that year, our whole family and another family flew down with the intent of building this house for this family back in Labalin for 10 days. And we, before we got there, I found out that, this couple is, they're not married, and they have 3 children. Well, I'm a pastor. What am I doing building a house for a family and they're not married? So I asked the director of the ministry there, and he said, well, you got to understand, in Haiti, they live together. Once they have enough money, they have a wedding. So, okay, that makes sense. What do we need to do to have a wedding? Well, it takes $750 to buy the food and pay for the official pastor to come in. So we raised the funds before we left, and we went down, and we built this house, painted it in 3 days, and Thursdays we had a wedding, and they got married, and they moved in. And to this day, if you would talk to any of our children, they will tell you that is the best Christmas they ever had. And so I just encourage any of you here, either to save money or prepare and take to third world countries. And you might call this bragging on my children. I believe God planted seeds in our kids' lives through that trip. Four of our oldest children have all spent time in Asia, mostly with Global Tribes Outreach, going into some closed countries. Our oldest daughter, Megan, lived on the border of Myanmar at a refugee camp with the Karen Christians with her friend and taught English there. Had the opportunity to travel there with her as a family then later. As I'm speaking here, probably happened a little earlier before daylight, but our other daughter and her husband, Irwin Gardens, we tell our people, our salesmen know when they go out to set up a new account, one of the first things they tell them is, we're not the cheapest company around, but we will give you a quality product, probably better than you'll find at most places, and we will deliver it when we say we'll deliver it, because of the systems we have in place at the office. And when there's something wrong, you call and a human answers the phone and the customer service will take care of you. How many of you know the story about the businessman that was at the Ritz-Carlton in Atlanta, Georgia, and was flying to Hawaii for a business meeting? He was supposed to speak there and he forgot his laptop. Everybody that works at the Ritz-Carlton has, at their own discretion, $2,000 that they can spend on any of their clients. And he called back and said, can you put that on the next plane and send it over so I have my laptop? The young girl that found out said, I don't trust the airline. I am going to buy a ticket and I'm going to fly it to Hawaii. She flew it to Hawaii and handed the laptop to the businessman. Where do you think that guy stays when he goes to Atlanta? One of our sales guys, I'm kind of losing track of time here. Where are we at? Someone in Key West bought a bunch of furniture and they were putting it together for a weekend party and they got to an outdoor bar and there was a part missing. So they called the dealer and the dealer called us. Our salesman went out to the shop to our team there and said, how soon can you make this part for me? And they said, well, just take a half hour. He booked a flight to Miami, rented a car, drove to Key West, put the bar together and helped them assemble the rest of their furniture, drove back to Miami and flew home. Where do you think they'll buy furniture the rest of their life? You don't do it just to make money, but you do things with excellence. And you do it for the honor and glory of God. And when the doors open, when people will ask you, why do you do those things? And that's the opportunity to share the gospel to people that maybe have never heard of it. So I share those stories just to encourage you in your business and challenge you. Why should someone do business with you? How easily can someone imitate what you do? We often say at Berlin Gardens, there's a lot of craftsmen in this community that can make furniture like we do. But we challenge them to have the culture that we have. And that's something we have to work on every day. We don't get everything right. We make mistakes. But the culture we have for our people is very important to us. Just as, and safety and the culture is very important. Another question, if I were in the market to buy what you sell, would I think of you first? If not, why not? Some challenging questions. Live your shared values. This is more about the marketplace here at home and making an impact in the kingdom here at home. Teach others how to model the values. DWYSYWD. That's kind of a long acronym. Do what you say you would do. Very simple. That's one of the most easy things to do, yet hard to do. Simply do what you say you would do. And do it maybe a day quicker or a week earlier or a couple hours quicker than what you had promised you. You know, we all of us have seen trees that fell over, and we wonder, oh my, what happened? Why did that tree fall over? And we go over and look inside, and it's hollow. And if our lives are hollow on the inside, when the difficult times come and the winds blow, and those things happen, you know, almost exactly 3 years ago is when our company, we were not essential, we were shut down. That was a difficult time. And I remember, I'll share a story later about that, but if we would not have been focusing on our North Star, we would not have accomplished what we did during the time that we were shut down. So developing well-rounded people is something that we like to really focus on. We tell our people, we do, one of the things we started doing at work that is so key is that we give our people time to have solitude. And I think I'm on a screen here. There's one missing there. Anyway, I'll just talk about it. But when we teach something at work, we say that we want you to use it for personally in your own life, professionally at work, at home, and in the community and your church. And the reason we do that is because we want to develop well-rounded people. And I get excited when I hear these Amish guys that come back to work and they say, well, I'm serving on the school board or I'm doing this. Because just by teaching people in round tables or one-on-one coaching or whatever we use off-site seminars, it's not just for Berlin Gardens. Yes, it is. But it's to invest in our community. It's for them to finish their high school and get a degree. The other lady that I'm just so fascinated by is Mother Teresa. I don't know how many of you have studied her life, but when she started ministry on the streets of Calcutta to the homeless in the slums, somebody asked her, how do you know who to minister to? Where do you start with millions of people out there? And she said, you start with one. You start with one. And I just want to encourage you, if you're sitting here tonight and it looks overwhelming for you, you young people back there, you think where do we start? Just start with one. Because when Mother Teresa died, I was just going to share this verbally, but I was so impressed. This is what was going on when Mother Teresa passed away. At the time of her death, Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity had over 4,000 sisters, an associated brotherhood of 300 members, and over 100,000 volunteers operating 610 missions in 123 countries. And what did she say when she started? She said, I'm starting with one. Liz said the other day, she said, dream small so that you can do big things. Dream small so that you can do big things. Just start with one. I'm going to share a story with something that happened almost three years ago and had to do with the shutdown. So I remember on walking into work on a Monday morning, and the state of Ohio, our governor, had said that all businesses that aren't essential need to shut down. And so we worked that Monday, and at the end of the day, I was sitting in my office, and I said to myself, what am I going to do? I have over 100 married men here that need a paycheck to feed their families, and I'm going to send them home with no work. And I felt prompted to, before they left, I got everybody together, and I said, I'm going to pay you 40 hours a week as long as I can. As long as we have money to do it, we're going to pay you. I don't know when we're coming back. That was on a Monday morning. And this is, I share this story because God can do so much more than you and I. And I think I have it on here at the end, I'm not sure, but I'm going to challenge you. This is not original with me. I heard John Maxwell say it the other day, is do something so big that when you're done, people are going to look at you and say, that had to be God. He's not that good. Our people went home and on a Monday, and we got a call Wednesdays from a marketing guy that we were doing some business with, and he said, do you think you can assemble face shields for the medical industry? We said, well, what are you talking about? So, you know, we weren't supposed to be close together, so we went up to Navarre and met at the Menards parking lot on the outside, fresh air. And we looked at, he said, I have the supplies, you have the people, can you assemble these? And had a couple guys with me, a couple of our managers, and we looked at it, we decided, you know what, we think we can do this. We took the parts back and we put one assembly line together that day. The next day we got more managers in and we kind of started one assembly line and we're like, we can do this. And Fridays, we called him back and said, yes, we'll go ahead and do this. And this is what it'll pay. And I did the calculations. It's like, okay, well, this might cover our payroll. And he said, we need $30,000 to be at Yale University Hospital by Saturday. So we brought everybody back that we could Fridays. And Saturdays, we sent the first truck of 28,000 face shields to Yale University Hospital. And for the next 3 weeks, we had our people assembling face shields. And we ended up over 3 or 4 weeks assembling close to 1 million face shields. And I share this story just of what God can do. There was business people in the community found out, and they were bringing meals in for us. And then there's Amish youth groups found out, and they were coming in to assemble them in the evening. The New York Times came down and had these two photographers in gowns and masks, and they were taking pictures and writing stories in the New York Times. And I don't share that to brag, but I share that we could have never done that. That was a God thing. And it mostly covered our payroll. But it was like the... I often think of and many of you have had situations like, do I do it or don't I do it? It looks real scary. But when the children of Israel were supposed to cross the Jordan River, and if you remember the verse, it says that it was harvest time and the Jordan River was swollen and overflowing. But what was the first thing that the priests were supposed to do? He said, put your feet in the water. And as soon as they put their feet in the water, the water went back, and they walked across on dry land. And I know there's some of you sitting here. I don't know all your stories, but there's some of you sitting here that God has something in front of you that he's asking you to do. And in our human minds, we say, I can't do this. This is too much. This is overwhelming. But I just challenge you to pray about it. And maybe God is asking you to take that step into the water where you're saying, this is way too much for me. But it's amazing what God can do if we're willing to say yes and to step into the water and see what God can do. When I was ordained in 2005 and was general manager of a local storage barn company, I share this story again as it was kind of like driving a stake and just increasing my faith in what God can do. And for about a year, I tried to work 5 days a week, 9 hours a day, and starting to do church work. And I came home one night, and I remember telling Ruby, I said, this is not going to work. I can't be a manager of this company 5 days a week, some Saturdays, and be available for church work. So we started praying this simple prayer in the morning, sitting at the counter. We just pray this prayer. Say, God, please help us find a business or a job with flexibility for church work. And the goal that I had was that if I find a business, that I put leadership in place to run it. And I don't only believe in just praying and sitting back and saying, okay, God, you bring it. But I went out and looked. And the first business, no. Second business, I toured it and came home and told my wife. She said, absolutely not. There's a fabric store in the corner of Mount Hope, the square. She said, we're not going to be open selling fabric Saturdays when you're at home studying to preach. The third business was we met with Adley Raber from Berlin Gardens, and I knew he was in his 60s and didn't have any children, and so we talked, and a year later, we felt at peace about it. We ended up buying the business in 2009, right during the downturn of the construction industry. Some of you remember those times? I still don't know why I did that. We had a mortgage on our house. I went to Kilbuck Bank to get a line of credit to run the business, and they said, well, what do you have? And I said, well, I have a property. They said, well, can we put a double mortgage on your house? And I said, oh, yeah. And but you know what? I did it because I felt it was the right thing to do, and I had peace about it. And the goal of acquiring that business was to put men in place to run it so that we can be free to do kingdom work here in a local church. And I say this to brag on God. He has taken it way beyond what I ever dreamt. I go to work Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, half days, and then I'm off the rest of the time. I share that to challenge maybe someone sitting here. Maybe that's where you are. But God can take you so much further than what we ever dream of. Challenge you with that. Commitment and an open hand. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Trust God with the outcome of your efforts. And there it is again. Do something so big that when people see it, that they have to say it's God. Because he's not that good. So I leave you with a challenge tonight to whatever you're involved in, whether it's a nonprofit organization, whether it's a for-profit, whether it's in the farming industry, or whether you're here as a high schooler. God has given you gifts and talents, finances. Not all of us the same. And God is not requiring the same of everyone here. But we will be held accountable according to the parable that Jesus is talking about, that someday he will ask us, what did you do with this? And I don't think any of us want to be with the servant that got one talent. Where we say, well, I was afraid. I had a scarcity mindset. I was afraid, and so I just did nothing. Didn't lose any money, but I didn't do anything. I buried it. I hid it because I was afraid. And I challenge you to ask God, God, is there something that you're wanting me to do? Or maybe you're sitting here and you know what it is. And God's asking you to step into the water. Take that first step. And the experiences I shared were God moments where God parted the waters and provided way more than I ever expected. All the way from business to church to, you know, it warms my heart to know that I have a daughter and a son-in-law that have the courage to go across a river into a closed country to help Christians that are being marginalized and persecuted. I pray for their safety, but I always say, give your children good roots and give them good wings and let them fly. I just want to bless you with that. I want to challenge you with that parable that Jesus shared in Matthew 25. And whatever God has in front of you, step into the water. Because we hear the words, and you know, when I retire, Retire is like a finish line. So when you cross the finish line, what are you going to do? You're done. You're finished. Is that what you want? To me, there is no finish line. Will there be a change? I was talking with one of you, I forget your name, but you said you're a triple plural pastor, right? I forget the words you said. And I asked you, I said, well, there's three of us. And I said, well, that's what we have three. And in a month from now, there'll be four. And I said, the goal is I want to replace myself. I need some younger guys in there with a fresh voice. I'm not going to retire, but I'm looking forward to what God has for me in the next phase of my life. So I leave you with that. I'll turn the time back to Brian. Blessings to you. Thank you for allowing me to come and just be with you here tonight.